Glory, 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 glory. I have so much to be thankful for. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Praise his holy name. I say praise his holy name. He deserved to be praised. He deserved to be praised. Rabba shakatala bakora bahes konana. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this type of weather, you make it conducive for God to answer you. I believe praise, if it's such a thing as God getting excited, I believe praise excites God. Just somebody acknowledging that he's a greater one. Huh? That he holding everything together.
Yes.
Sometimes man think they are, but they're not. No, our Father. And not only that, we don't only have the opportunity to call him God, but he's given us the glorious opportunity to call him Abba Father. That means that he's my Father. Is he your Father? Mine. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. You thankful? Well, get your Bible and let's look at a few scriptures here. I want to look at a key text because I'm still dealing with one of the switches, or one of you may be seated, one of the switches and one of the gates and doors of our soul. I think because of a lack of training in our soul and not knowing the five aspects of our soul, which we have been studying, it gives us, our spirit, a chance to bring us to a deeper dimension of the presence of God and the will of God. As, you know, Jesus said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper even as your soul prosper. And so I thought about it, if there's such a thing as a prosperous soul, there's such a thing as a soul not being prosper. And the Lord said, he said it, he's saying our soul can prosper. I think we should look at 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. It stays on my mind, it stays on my spirit, that we have to have a good understanding of a sanctified soul. By sanctifying our soul with the word of God, with the ways of God, our emotion, our reasoning, our memory, our imagination, and our will need to be sanctified with the word of God. Now, actually, in the context of that class, it's talking about having a renewed mind. Romans 12:2. Because he said, you know, be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Now, nobody would say, what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Turn there, because I quote verses sometimes, and not the first verse I want to go to. But go to Romans, because I think Romans give us a dynamic of what can happen if we have all five aspects of our soul renewed or trained or sanctified. And then I think we're operating in a prosperous soul. You operate in a prosperous mind when your mind is renewed with the word of God. But notice at the end of that verse in Romans 12:2, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see that? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We also find out in the Bible told us that God is at work in us to do his will and his good pleasure, you see. But our soul has something to do with it. I believe we've been caught in soul traps. I believe we've been traveling sometime in soul danger. Not danger to the fact that we don't know what's causing us to collapse. When we work in the word, we're praying, but it seems like something besides Satan causing us to collapse. Now, he behind it all, you understand? But if you do not understand how to function properly in your spirit, your soul, and your body, Satan will cause you to collapse in that area. But if you really want to be a strong man and a strong woman, you got to know how to handle and how to function in a total man. Now, again, I remind you, Romans 12:1-3 is doing what we're looking at in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. See, Romans 12:1-3 is sort of a commentary. A commentary is an explanation, detail about something. And so in Romans 12:1-3, he tells us to present our body, then he tells us to be transformed, then he tells us God have given every man the measure of faith in that third chapter, Romans 12:3. You see that, right? And then you get over in Thessalonians now, he tells us bring the whole thing and turn it over to God and let God sanctify the Lord God in our heart and let every part become sanctified. In the 24th verse, he tells us, and faithful is God who will do it. So what he's waiting for us to do? Surrender. Surrender. And that's a lot of time, that's the most hardest thing to do, to surrender, because there's so many things calling for you. So many voices, so many seem like opportunities and privileges for something else to be better. But you must come to the point where you really know how to surrender to God. Now that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I want to make sure we make a note of it, because we're talking about sanctifying your entire soul so it can cooperate properly with your spirit and with your body. Are you with me? See, I say to you, and I need a bad repeating here. You had 1 Thessalonians 5. That's good. 5:23. It's bad repeating here, and I want to repeat it on purpose over and over again until it's synchronized in our spirit. Let me read scripture for foundational. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctifies you wholly. I want you to underline sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. You see? So he's talking about sanctifying your spirit, your soul, and your body. It's possible because the word of God said it can be done. And you mess around and get one aspect of your being sanctified, and then you wonder what happened, but there's a door open. There's a part of you not set apart to God. And it definitely, if you don't know what it is, you sure can't set it apart. You're trying to set it apart. So notice what he says here. You underline that?
Yes, sir.
You still with me?
Yes, sir.
Then he says, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Oh, he must have made a mistake there. Blameless. Spirit, soul, and body? That even sounds impossible. See? Yeah, for you to do yourself. Until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, faithful is he that calls you who also will do it. See, who also will do it? Underline that. Who also will do it? Because now we go to 2:13. Who also will do it? You see that? Christ, you see that? It said, who also will do it? See, you don't have to do it on your own. Surrender, yield, know about it, want it, ask for it. Fade it out. F-A-I-T-H. See? That my spirit, my soul, and my body going to be blameless before God. I'm going to walk before God. My total man going to walk before God sanctified. But you got something to do with it. That your spirit, your soul, and your body got to have a special diet, special food. Now look at it in Philippians 2:13. What it says? What? Hold up. Whoa. What? Look back at 1 Thessalonians 5:24. All right, go back to Philippians 2:13. Let's see if we can connect these two verses. What did he say? To do what? Do his will in a good pleasure. Go back to Romans 12:2 then. Take the face off it. Look what he's saying. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, your mind is in the context of your soul. And if your mind is in a trap, you in a trap. That's why we're dealing with these strongholds and these imaginations. It's built in your mind. It's built in your soul realm. Are you following me? See, you can go back and forward to those verses, back and forward. Now, let me repeat some things. The imagination is one of the five weapons of the soul. I call them weapons. If you get them sanctified, get them synchronized to God, it becomes a weapon. It can be used for you or it can be used against you. Imagination. Homosexuality and lesbianism come from a bad imagination. Turn to Romans 1:21. Evil imagination that do not know how to be trained. Keep messing with that person. Keep seeing and visualizing something that is not in tune with God. And if you don't know how to stop him, He'll keep showing a boy a boy. He keeps showing a girl a girl, and then it get in their imagination, get in their mind, and then they go to think they're a girl. Or go to think they're a boy. And it's just the devil. It just got caught up by something. You just got to know how to change it. It doesn't mean the person who got caught up bad. It just means that they didn't have nobody to help them. They didn't get in overnight, most probably. They won't get out overnight. You see that 21st verse? Finally, the Lord talked about turning them over to a reprobate mind. But you see, they start working with the evil. Read that 21st verse. Keep looking at it. See, because you have to understand where things come from. And then you'll be able to deal with it. See. The imagination, it has to come from the word image. And your imagination, I heard this afternoon. I thought it was, a camera. Some cameras have film in them. Your imagination is the film of your faith. Write that down. It's the film. It's the film of your faith. See, either your faith going to look at a good movie or you're going to look at a bad movie. You're going to have to flip the switch. you follow what I'm saying? But your imagination is the film, because you say, the Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So you really don't have it yet. But what going to hold you till it comes? What you going to look at? The image of it. You got to have an imagination. So if you're trained to sanctify your imagination, you can look in the book and see what God sees. So your imagination is so important. Your imagination can take you places that you never have seen before. And then you can hold that, and finally your imagination will take you there, coupled with your spirit. You're using your imagination every day. Yeah, because you really don't know the way to work. Now, what I told you, Tony? What scripture you reading? Yeah, I need to go there and say something about it in a minute. Romans 1:21. Now, that whole chapter tells you about Romans 1:21, talking about how people get in trouble in their imagination, their mind. And we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is spiritual warfare. Huh? Some of y'all don't like y'all know what 2 Corinthians 10 says. Turn there. Flip it. Hold your Bible there, because this guy just school. 2 Corinthians 10, because we need to know that, because vain imagination, your imagination can work for you or it can work against you. Choose you this night. How you want it to work? How you want it to work? I can't hear. Y'all ain't loud enough now. See, y'all need to be enthused about this. I don't need nobody here. This is a test. You got to make a choice. So I need somebody to answer me when I ask them. I say, what you want your imagination to work against you or for you? Talk up. So let the devil know what you mean. Don't be second addict. You don't know what I'm saying. Don't let the other person answer. You answer yourself. And God hears you when you say these things. That's why I got to get you. I got to provoke you to stand up and say something in church. Don't just sit there. God wants you to know that God wants to know if you want your imagination to work like he designed it to work. Habits would be broken. Things that have had a hold on you will have to turn you loose, because you're going to start seeing yourself free. That's where your imagination come in at. Seeing yourself blessed. Seeing yourself on top. See, this warfare. This is not warfare. It's warfare. In other words, you got to take this. This is not a government line. This is warfare. See, some people think the church is warfare. and they just think that everything's going to be handed out to them. No, you got to fight, baby. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. You got to understand that. As an individual, you have to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit and cut the enemy out of your thoughts. This is warfare, Brad. This is no cookie jar. This is not something that you can come to a little Bible study and get a few verses handed out to you, and you're talking about, I've done my duty. We ain't talking about no duty here. We're talking about a relationship and a fellowship and a walk with God, being led by the Spirit, fed by the Spirit, daily eating the bread. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Eating the bread of life for our spirit to be strong, our soul to be strong, and our body to be under subjection. See, Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I bring my body under subjection. If your soul is not in order, you're not going to bring your body into subjection, because your soul going to team in with your body. Now, go back to Romans. You're in 2 Corinthians. I want you to hold that 10. I want you to understand, good God Almighty. I said, good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Now, the Spirit of God tell me to tell you right now, this is a heart awakening statement. You in charge. The devil not in charge. Your problems are not in charge. You in charge. Every day the choices you make, they are so important. Good God Almighty. I choose to win me. Huh? Well, you're gonna have to develop this thing. Now, listen. Look back in Romans 1:21, because I want to show you where homosexuals and lesbians and little girls get trapped, little boys get trapped. They get trapped in their mind. They get trapped by somebody messing with their film in their faith. Somebody messing with their imagination. They're really not bad children. You can take that out. You can just play some other movies for them, and just keep playing those movies. Those movies will drive that movie out. See, we're not hopeless. You're not hopeless. You know, we got a little boy with girl's dress on and a earring. You don't scare me, because I can pull an earring out of his ear and get that dress off him and train his mind. See, I train his mind first. He'll take the earring out himself. There's people caught in a trap. That's all it is. They're caught in a trap. I have to talk about that so much because it came out of the imagination. Then Romans 1:21. Are you looking at with this? Are you in the Bible? I'm trying to go somewhere with that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither was thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they got caught, so they caught somebody else. They got caught, and they caught somebody else. It's a chain reaction. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can do this. How many of y'all born of God? Been born again, you know you're a new creature. You can do this. All we're going to do is train this thing now. You got to train how to deal. Turn it to 2 Corinthians 10 now. Because it's warfare.
Yes, it is.
Warfare. The war is for your soul. The war is for your mind. He already know he have lost. You're already a new creature. Now he want to depreciate God and drag you through the mud to make you look bad and God make look bad. But you got to help God. You got to work with God so God can stop him, that you can live a holy, sanctified, pure life, walking by faith and knowing, able to discern, is this God or this the devil or this my ego? Second Corinthians 10:3, for we walk not in the flesh, we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. But mighty through God. Woo! Mighty through God. Not mighty through me, not mighty through you, but mighty through God. You got to have God might, which is in his word, in his spirit, in his covenant, in his kingdom, to pull down strongholds. That's why they call them strongholds. Why they call them strongholds? Because they're strong. That's why they call them strongholds, because they're strong. But they're not strong as God. In his word. All right, pulling down stronghold. Now here it is, verse 5. What, doing what? Casting down imaginations. See, that's plural. And every high, see, high thing. High thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I believe when you bring every thought to the obedience of Christ, I believe your imagination is now trained to function with the Spirit of God. Are you following me? A sanctified imagination. All right. Godly imagination is godly focus, point in the future that you can continuously attach to your faith. Godly imagination is a godly focus point in the future. A godly focus point. In other words, I'm focused on something that is not here yet. But the word have told me it's there. So I take the word as my vehicle and travel there. What's your fuel? Fate is my fuel. Fate make the car run. Fate make my imagination go where it should go. I'm sick, but my imagination see myself well. A godly focus point. A godly, good God Almighty. What? Good God Almighty. A godly imagination is a godly focus point in the future that you can continuously, are you listening? Yes, attach your faith. Somebody read that back to me. God dug it. All right, let the new man read it. Let the new man read it because y'all been sitting around here. Read it. Godly imagination is a godly focus point in the future that you can continuously attach your faith. Now I heard something. If you do not know how to do that, if you don't continuously attach your faith to what God has said, your faith will be attacked and stopped. Because if your imagination is not functioning right, your vision and your dream and your destiny, all of it come out of socket. Because Satan's going to start lying, start showing you things that you can't do, and he's going to smother your vision. Smother your dream. Stop you from dreaming. To have this focus point, are you listening to me? To do that, you must understand the ability to have a sanctified imagination that can be produced by the truth of God's word. When that happened, you listening? Therefore, no lying, false, worldly foresight will have no part in your life. No, bad news don't mean nothing to you because you already got good news. You already turned to the channel you're going to watch. You understand what I'm saying? See, I already know where I'm going. See? But your imagination will play a clean and wholesome part in your soul. Clean and wholesome part. The revelation of the power of the imagination. That's what we're dealing with. understand the mystery of how Satan wants your imagination. If Satan gets your imagination, you listening? He can force future failure. Yeah. If Satan can get your imagination, he can force future failure. Who listening to me? See? He show you failure. He tell you you're not going to make it. He show you three other church members who didn't make it because he had their imagination. See how faith played in this part. Now, I played with this while a day in Hebrews 11 and 1. Let's just go to Hebrews 11 and 1. I mean, you know it, but this is seeking to use our imagination. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, your imagination got to be in there somewhere. Huh? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For while we look not at the things are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. I believe my imagination all up in there, man. I believe I see things that God said. I see myself with it before I get it. That's faith, you know. So I'm further down the line, I'm going to tell you how legitimate it is to understand that your imagination works with your faith. And so you move way beyond cars and houses now. Cars and houses become marbles. What do you call it? Like you're playing jacks, you know. Yeah. Because you're so far advanced, you know that got to come. And so we have measured on the minor and minor in the major. See, what I'm teaching you now, you watching by the internet, what I'm teaching you now, you watching by Roku, what I'm teaching you now, these five weapons, and we're dealing with the weapon of your imagination, you about to shut Satan down. You about to shut all his lies down. You about to shut all your enemies down. They can't get to you. They can't get to you. If they can't get to your imagination, get to your mind, they can't get to you. You can do this as a Christian. You see, people think you have to be all deep and be a Bible scholar. Most of them don't have it. You have to be, for lack of a word, I'm suffering from Bible dependency. See, you see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's good suffering now. I'm suffering for Bible dependency. I need to hear from God. I need a word from God. And you need to get in that same condition. See, that'll kill your ego. I need help. How many of you need help? Absolutely. Y'all going to make it. Yeah, as long as you need to know your help. Understand the mystery. It's a mystery. How Satan wants your imagination. If he can get it, he can force future failure. Now I'm gonna tell y'all ahead of time. Listen to a question when I ask you a question. Don't throw your hand up too fast. Okay? I'm trying to train you. Because I want you to concentrate when I'm talking to you. I want you to know what I said, all right? All right. Then if you go to another church, I want you to know what they're saying. All right. How many of y'all want future failure? See that boy, put his hand up. I told you, listen, boy. See, this is what I want you. This is how sharp I want you to be. I want you to be paying attention. See, because you're not paying attention. The person next to you raised their hand up, you say, I want it too. See, this is how sharp I want you to be, because I'm going to get a little sharp in my teaching. And I'm telling you right now, your imagination properly trained. What I said?
Your imagination properly trained.
can carry you into the future favor of God. You heard that? It can carry your imagination, properly trained, qualified to carry you into the future favor of God. In other words, the favor haven't hit you yet, but you're already there. Your faith and favor have locked hands with your future. Amen. Good God Almighty. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. I said it, but I'm going to say it now, specifically. Imagination and faith work very closely together. And I want to make this announcement. May God reveal the mystery of your imagination to you. May you come out of that hole you've been in. That bondage, that where you need a breakthrough. May tonight. May the Holy Spirit give you that breakthrough you need. From depending on some other source. El Shaddai gonna do this for me. Jehovah Jireh, he's my provider. He's gonna do this for me. See, I want you to get out there further enough to help yourself. Now watch this next statement. Sit down, watch this next statement. What? All right. See what time it is. Because I said this, but I wasn't as anointed as I am now. Your imagination birth bondage or breakthrough. I want to see that. I want you to see that. I don't want that just your imagination either going to birth bondage or it birth breakthrough. If you feed it the word of God, renew your mind, it's going to birth breakthrough. If you lag around and be a church member and don't pay attention to what's being told you by heaven government, your imagination is going to birth bondage because Satan's going to use your imagination. He's going to build strongholds in there. It's nothing the word of God said belonging to you, you can't imagine is yours right now. And if you keep on imagining and keep applying faith, and just the three simple things that we got away from, the three simple thing, believing, confessing, and receiving. Write it down, because I mean, believing, confessing, and receiving. That's a simple flow. That's a simple flow. Very, very, I say, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, Mark 11:23, and be thou removed in Kansas City, and shall not believe those things which you say. He should have whatever he said. Therefore, I say to you, what things shall you desire when you pray? Believe that you receive them. And you notice Jesus told that blind man, you believe I'm able to do this? Amen. He made him say something. Right. Bam! He received it. Amen. I don't want no bondage in my life. So you know what I'm going to do from this day night forward? You know what? I'm going to operate in breakthrough thinking. Anything else come up about failure, about you didn't make it last time, or some foolishness, I'm going to change it. I'm going to take the word of God. I'm going to speak back to that thought. Because from this night forward, I'm going to have breakthrough thinking. I'm not accepting no other stinky thinking. The Lord said, Jesus have broke me through. And I'm talking about every area of my life. I see these little material gestures we're going through. We should have been out of this mess. We got greater things to do than bleed for our house. The house is ours by association. I'm just a Lord kid. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes. The Lord give good things to his children. He said all they got to do is ask him. He asked me, say, I'm not going to give you a scarf, but I'm going to give you what you asked for. We got that. Look at somebody and tell them, I got this. Tell them, I'm gonna stop fighting for what is rightfully mine. This is mine. I'm gonna command it to come. I'm gonna make a demand on my rights with God. Come on now. Somebody hear me in here. Huh? Satan has tapped into the power of the imagination to destroy people's lives in so many ways. We go back to Romans chapter 1. We go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We even in those days, they say every thought they had was thoughts of evil. That's how they all got drowned. In. Satan got in their imagination, turned them against God. God said, they got to get out of here. Let's look at a positive, negative, positive text. We're gonna turn it in to our favor. Then Genesis 11 and 6. When it was Ammon to build a tower of Babel. But the Lord said something in that sixth verse that can be an outstanding revelation to your life if you understood what he said. Because when I look at that voice, he's saying to me, Leroy, you can get in a position that nothing can stop you. How many of y'all like that? Yeah, see, you can get in a position that nothing can stop you from what you see God said he has provided for you. You can get in a position that take you completely from under the curse, completely smack dab in the middle of God's covenant. And then you can walk with a kingdom strut because you know you're born again, that you know you're filled with God's spirit. You know God's nature is on the inside of you. You're not no regular person. I'm not just a church goer. I'm a child of a king. I got kingship right. Talk to me up in here. Don't let me fly by myself up in here tonight. I'm a child of a king. I got king nature on the inside of me. Kingly living is a part of me. Don't question my blessing. I'm born to be blessed. I got a right to be blessed. Don't be ashamed of what God's doing for you. God will do some more things for you. As the enlightenment come, beyond excitement, empowerment going to come. And you're going to begin to function deeper in the dimension of your inheritance. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. Already paid for?
Already
saved
for?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What is too much? I know what too little is, but I have no concept what too much is. I know what too little is. And that's built in my imagination. I can't think small. No more. I quit. I fired small. Then I found out the church get disturbed about that. Huh? Huh? You heard what he said? Huh? Huh? Back. Because this is the real deal. I'm going to teach you about 4 or 5 more minutes. Sit down. Turn to Genesis chapter 11 because we want to look at this and augur for a few minutes. And we're going to augur. He said in the sixth verse, and the Lord, who said it?
The
now the Lord said this, he can't take this back. He said it. Now you know you said that, God. Watch what he said. The Lord said, behold, the people, there is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And this they begin to do, right? The people begin to do something, right? And he said, and now nothing. What he said, now what?
Nothing.
Will be restrained from them. Come on, I want you to soak that up a little while. Now nothing, good God Almighty. Now nothing will be restrained from them. How you like that? How y'all like that? Nothing be restrained from them. It's possible. Say it's possible. All right, let's just get a hold of this now. That they imagine to do. Now, he had to stop them because they were evil. Here's what have happened to us. The world has taken your principle and worked it better than you. The people have believed in the devil more than we believe in God. What an indictment. They trust their God more than we trust our God. And I'm going to close here. I want you to begin to make, by the direction of the Holy Ghost, listen, you listening?
Yes, sir.
Bold move. What kind of move?
Bold.
Bold move. Move while you're trembling in your socks. But you know God got to bring you out. How you say that? It's a calculated risk. It's a risk that already been calculated and evaluated. You know how it's going to come out, but it's still a risk. Because none of your family members have never been there. I want you to get bold in your imagination. See yourself somewhere you've never been. Get the word of God on it. Apply your faith. Get ready to make a bold move. People are not going to like you. But a lot of people are going to get saved. More going to get saved than those who talk about you. Because the world is looking for Christians with bold move. A bold move. Give God the right to be in his character. God's character is out of the ordinary. God's character is doing the impossible. A bold move, give God a chance to work in his character. Anybody can do that, but they can't do that. God said, go for that. Let me exercise my muscle. Let me do something for you out of the ordinary. Let me do something that man can't do for you. I need a bold move from somebody in my family. Somebody who's ready to go for it. Not going to take meditation. Going to take prayer. It's going to take time in the presence of God to do this. You understand that, right? You understand that? You're not going to jump out there and do that without no word. Because there's a silly devil who will tempt you to do something about, I'm making a bold move. You ain't got no instruction from God. You better make no bold move. Lift your hand. Let's praise God for a few moments. Thank you for what you heard. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We'll put your word in practice. Don't only be a hearer of the word, the Bible says, but be a doer of the word. Say it. I'm not only a hearer of the word, but I'm a doer of the word. He heard you. Praise him a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you all the glory for what's said, Lord. You're changing our lives with the word of God. You're changing our lives with the word of God. Think about a few moments what you heard tonight. Think about a few moments how kind God has been to us tonight. He's training us for something, isn't he? Yeah, God training us. God getting us ready for something, boy. I'm telling you. What? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. My feet is moving in your direction. Your step will be more planner and more clearer from this night forward, says the Lord. You will walk in a planned path. There are things that have been hindering you, but after this night, they will not, because you will know how to take control of them. And by doing that, you're going to walk in a plain path. Lift your hand and give God praise. Yeah, as soon as she started out in tongue, I heard about steps. As soon as she started out, I paused to give somebody else a chance. That's the only reason I paused. I already had it. I remember a time we were moving in the Spirit, and two or three of us had the same thing as interpretation. But, you know, we wait to give somebody else a chance. And don't be afraid if you believe you got it, because God will help you on it. Amen. I was about to ask, I want to ask this question right quick. Is everyone in this room or watching me by internet filled with the Holy Spirit and able to speak another tongue? If you're in this room here and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not speaking another tongue.